Just the screen. Good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we'll be back with you in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. But hold just a moment here. I'm going to play just a little music and see what's going on. Okay, fine. Well, just call again. Well, this is Dr. Stan. and, of course, our producer just told us we don't have a program this evening, so it's just going to be you and me out there across America. If you have any questions or comments or something you want to talk to, this is our first evening with the new network, with the Republic Network, as well as with the Christian Broadcasting System. So we're getting off to an unusual start under any circumstances. Let me just go a little bit into the background of a couple of things that really concern me, but would like you to give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have something to talk about. But one of the things that I really want to talk about is perception. Now, most Americans have a perception. They saw the pictures of the atrocities that were carried out at the Abu Ghraib prison, and, of course, then immediately after that, of why we saw the pictures of the beheading of an American. So, on one hand, showing those pictures throughout the world of the American torture of the Islamic prisoners would certainly tend to inflame Muslims throughout the world. On the other hand, showing the pictures of the beheading of an American by Islamic radicals would tend to inflame the Americans against the Islamics. So if you really wanted to have a situation where you're playing one racial group, one religious group, one population group against another population group, why, you couldn't really have done this better. But I want to get a little bit into the background of the pictures we saw of the beheading of Mr. Berg, because there's something very strange about this story. One of the things that's very, very strange is that if you've been reading the stories about the trial of Zacharias Massawi, why we find out that on his laptop computer just happened to be the password for Mr. Berg's laptop computer. Now, why would Zacharias Massawi, the 20th hijacker, have the password for Mr. Berg's laptop computer in Zacharias's computer? What's wrong with this story? Well, apparently, as you know, that Zacharias Massawi had come to the United States. According to him, he was constantly tracked by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and that's covered in my latest newsletter, and he'll give you the source material, and he has said that. He says that his lawyer has said that. He was constantly tracked by the FBI. Now, we're told, the FBI had no idea who any of the terrorists were. It was just one of those things. We had no idea what was happening. We had no idea that there was going to be an attack. We thought the attack was going to be overseas. Despite the fact that the Mossad told us it was going to be here, the German intelligence told it was going to be here, the Moroccans told us, the Jordanians controlled us, Putin told us it was going to be here. They had calls from people who had escaped from Iran telling us even the day of the attack, but we had no idea the attack was going to be here. If you read Dr. Cuddy's book entitled 9-1-1 prior knowledge, you'll find that many of the school children in the Pakistani area there adjacent to the World Trade Center, they brought their cameras to school so that they could actually see the attack on the World Trade Center. But we want you to know the FBI, the CIA had no idea that the attack was coming on September 11th. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, our regularly scheduled guest did not show up, so we will certainly welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we were going into the strange case of Nicholas Berg, who was beheaded. We're told, of course, he was beheaded by the... I guess we have Larry Klayman coming on. We're told he was beheaded by the Islamic radicals. And, of course, this tends to inflame the Americans against the Islamic radicals, tends to inflame the Islamic radicals against the United States. And if you wanted to get World War III going, do you know a better way to do that? But the truth of the matter is, if you look at the background of Nicholas Berg, there's something very, very strange about it. And our guest is coming on here. We're not going to have a chance to really explore this idea as fully as I would like to. I would simply point out that go up on your internet and pull down the pictures of Nicholas Berg. Go to Google, type in Nicholas Berg, and then, of course, look at the pictures of him. He's wearing an orange jumpsuit, an orange American military jumpsuit. Now, how many Islamic terrorist groups do you think there are throughout the Middle East that have army orange jumpsuits to put their prisoners in? Now, is there anything wrong with this picture? You will actually see the pictures of the Islamic radicals about ready to behead him, and they all have their faces covered, but this actually was shown on an Islamic a terrorist website beginning in London. And they tell you who the leader of this group was. Why would you bother to wear hoods to conceal your identity when the website that's going to put this up tells you who the people are or who the leader of this terrorist group is that's going to behead the American? And what was an American doing over in Iraq there for months? Well, we're told he was over there. Mr. Berg was over in the Middle East. He was selling cell phones. He wanted to set up a cell phone company. Do you honestly believe that in war-torn area where, you know, you could drive down the street at any time and get shot by terrorists, that Mr. Berg is going to be traveling around over there selling cell phones and trying to set up a cell phone business? How did he even get into that country? You know, you don't just simply, go to your local airport and say, I want to fly into Baghdad, because everything's controlled by the military. Something is very, very strange about this entire story, especially the fact that that Zacharias Massawi, the 20th hijacker, had the password to Nicholas Berg's computer on his website. So, well, we'll get back into that a little bit later, but right now, fortunately, we have with us, calling from Florida, a candidate for the United States Senate, Larry Craman. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Larry. This is Larry Clemens with us, and thank you so much for being with us. I'm doing just fine, and how are you? How is the campaign coming?
Very well. I'm sitting here on my balcony overlooking Biscayne Bay at the moment.
Well, now for our people out there across America who don't know who Larry is, why, Larry has been very, very active in Washington, D.C., as a lawyer there, really doing a great deal to actually represent our interests in Washington, D.C., and bringing a number of lawsuits against the Clinton administration, which were very embarrassing for them, and pointing out some of the terrible things that they were doing. But more recently, he's left his organization, and he's gone to Florida, and he's running for the United States Senate. And what's so unusual about this election is that the Republican primary for the Senate has not yet been held. When is the Republican primary election for the Republican seat going to be held?
Dan, it'll be a week from tomorrow. It's August 31st. It's coming up, and it's great anticipation here. I have six opponents. There's seven of us all told. Anywhere between 30% and 40% of the Florida electorate has yet to make up its mind, and it's winner take all. There's no runoff, so I have a very good chance of winning, and we will see what happens in the next week. I'm the most conservative candidate. I'm the only real Christian conservative candidate that maintains truth to those principles, and I have a great following in that community, and also in the Cuban community, as well as other communities here in Florida.
Well, so with six candidates splitting the vote, hopefully if the Christians and the Cubans would unite behind you, why, you'd be a shoo-in. And then, of course, you'll go up against the Democrat candidate. Who is the Democrat candidate?
There are three of them. The leading one right now is a woman named Betty Castor, who used to be president of Florida International University and education commissioner. And then there's a congressman from Pembroke Pines, Florida, not too far from Miami, named Peter Deutsch, and the mayor of Miami, Alex Pinellas. The Democrats have a rather weak field, so I think whoever prevails, and of course I hope it'll be me, out of the Republican primary will probably be the next senator from Florida.
All right, fine. Well, of course, now, what do you feel that the major issues are? What are the issues that you are standing behind in this campaign?
Well, the major issue is that we need true Republican conservative reform. We have a U.S. Senate right now, which is run by Republican leaders who really act more like Democrats than Republicans. And you can see that from the balanced budget, which, of course, is not balanced at all. We're $7.5 trillion in debt. We've bankrupted our kids and grandkids. And when I say we, I mean the Republican leadership up there. And everything kind of flows from that. One of the reasons why the recent 9/11 Commission report said we didn't have adequate homeland security over 3 years since 9/11 is because we don't have money for homeland security. And when the Republican Congress brags about tax cuts, there really are no tax cuts at all. They really have raised taxes because with that kind of a debt, you have to pay the interest, and that's a huge drag on the American taxpayer. It's like a tax. So things kind of flow from that point. And then when you get to religious issues, and I'm a religious as well as a fiscal conservative, they only take an interest in these issues right before the election, and they do things like propose a same-sex marriage amendment at a time when they know they're going to lose. They're doing it just because they're saying that they're doing it to try to convince us Christians to go to the polls. So the truth here, Stan, is, and I'll let you speak for yourself, is that conservatives are very unhappy with Republican leadership. They tolerate it because the alternative is so much worse, which is the Democratic Party. And the president needs a strong leader in the Senate to compliment him. He doesn't have it right now. And we all pray that he's going to win, and I'm going to work hard for him to try to make sure that he wins. But God forbid, if you have a John Kerry and a John Edwards in the White House, you're really going to need a Larry Klayman in the Senate. You're going to need a real fighter, because we don't have any there right now. We have basically people who just go along to get along.
Well, it's certainly that's true. In the House of Representatives, at least we have Ron Paul, and we have a couple of good conservative congressmen who are willing to speak out and are willing to buck the system. But I look at the United States Senate, and every one of those senators, it appears, is in that category of the finest senators that money could buy. And they're going right along with the power structure and for fear that if they don't go along with it, they're not going to get any money from the Republican National Central Committee to get reelected. So they compromise their principles and simply drift along. Well, do you have any strong feelings about this globalism, which is something I think many of our people are listening to what this program would be concerned about? And that is, of course, taking down all of our trade barriers. Well, they really don't trade. We take down our trade barriers. The people at the other side don't necessarily take down theirs. But many, many people feel that we're shipping our jobs and our industries and indeed our wealth overseas. Is this globalism going to be good for America or is it going to be harmful?
Well, I agree with you, Stan. I see where you're going on that. No, I'm against globalism. It doesn't mean you can't cooperate internationally with other people. I was an international lawyer. I speak four languages. People wouldn't accuse me of being a xenophobe. That means I don't have a fear of foreigners, but we must protect our own sovereignty. And we have seen recently, and this is not a new movement to get out of the United Nations, but the time has come. I'm the only Senate candidate in the entire country that is running on a platform of withdrawing from the United Nations, because we saw going into the war in Iraq how they not only refused to go along with what was in the best interest of the world, they tried to put a monkey wrench into our going into Iraq, and they're still doing that. That cost American lives. The United Nations is run by third world terrorist states. The Human Rights Commission, the chairman of that commission is Cuba and Syria. Cuba sits 90 miles off the shores of Florida. It's run by a terrorist, a madman, every bit as bad as Fidel Castro. Excuse me, every bit as bad as Adolf Hitler, Freudian slip. however, he's had fewer people to work with to kill. But he's getting there. And, of course, our trade agreements, yes, are imbalanced. And we give away the store. We cannot enter into these agreements as long as we are giving greater rights to foreign countries than we have. And I'll give you an example. You know, we talked about the busted budget a few minutes ago. Foreigners are paying half the price that we pay for pharmaceutical companies manufactured by our own companies, who, by the way, have moved 70% of their facilities offshore to foreign countries because these foreign countries have socialized systems of medicine. The governments buy the pharmaceuticals from our companies who have their facilities overseas, and they have price ceilings. In other words, they won't allow our companies to sell at market price. They have to sell at below market prices to the foreign governments. And as a result, our companies, when they sell to us, are doubling the price. So we Americans are paying twice what foreigners are paying. And our trade negotiators aren't doing their job because they're allowing these foreign governments to get away with this, and our own people are being ripped off. Now along comes the Republican Congress with the Democrats, and they say, oh, okay, we're not going to create competition among the pharmaceutical companies because, hey, they give us a lot of money to be reelected. They line our pockets. Republican and Democrat. So what we're going to do is come up with a $600 billion program, and it's my former group, Judicial Watch, that uncovered that it was $600 billion, not $400, as the administration was saying was going to be the cost. We're going to come up with this big program. We're going to take money away from the Treasury that we pay for as taxpayers, and we're going to give it to insurance companies to offset the cost of high pharmaceuticals. In other words, we're going to subsidize high prices in this country. And this is exactly the wrong message to send to foreign countries, that they can get away with things that we can't even get away with here. So this is a good example of our failed trade policy. And when it comes to NAFTA, or it comes to the proposed Free Trade Agreement of the Americas, or the World Trade Organization, our people have given away the store. These agreements are inequitable. And frankly, they should be voided until we get some kind of equity.
All right, fine. Well, then let me just hit something that is probably going to be very controversial. But how do you feel about the fact that there are a certain couple of states, that are just saying, well, we're going to go ahead and import our drugs from Canada because they're exactly the same drugs. They're either made in the United States or made by foreign manufacturers that are bringing the drugs in the United States. There's no question about the quality. There's no question about, whether they're going to be up to standards. They're made by American drug companies elsewhere, and yet you're telling us we can't go north of the border and buy those drugs and bring them in here because the FDA won't let us, because they say they're concerned about our health. And it's really the FDA is concerned about keeping the profits up for the drug companies. What's your response to that? Should we allow people to go north of the border and buy their drugs there in violation of the FDA laws, or should we insist that the FDA represent the American people rather than the drug companies?
Well, first of all, we shouldn't have this situation to begin with, because if we were doing our job, as I just said, we would have the market setting prices worldwide, and Americans wouldn't have to go to Canada. But since the drug companies have bribed our Democratic and Republican colleagues in Washington to put into effect this government policy, which keeps product out from overseas, we should allow it, because it will create competition. But it's only a stopgap measure. You wouldn't need to do that if, in fact, drug prices were being sold at competitive rates.
Well, one of my concerns about this Medicare Drug Act, although it's not going to really kick in for a couple of years, but with a massive deficit that we already have, how in the world are we going to be able to afford adding more on top of it? I mean, the federal deficit this year, they're admitting $445 billion, but of course then they're not mentioning they're going to steal another $200 billion from Medicare and Social Security, and then everything I hear, they're going to have to get another $50 billion from Congress right after the election to continue funding the war over there. So we're going to have massive deficits, and that they're going to add on top of that this Medicare bill?
Well, they've already stolen the money. There's nothing left in the Social Security Trust Fund. It's been done. And, you know, what we've seen here, Stan, and you can see my positions, and I need the support of your listeners. I need their financial support. I only have a week left in my primary. We've got to beat this big Republican and Democrat Washington establishment. We need a strong senator up there. But the fact is that this has major ramifications. It's not just on paper that we're bankrupt. It's because we don't have money for other things that really count, like protecting us from terrorism, that we are so exposed. And I'm sitting here in front of the port of Miami, and this place could go up at any time. There's no protection in here.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment with Larry Klairman. We'll invite your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. This is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Larry is running for the United States Senate nomination down there in Florida in just about a week. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Larry Klairman. Of course, we're talking about his candidacy. And Larry, in just a couple of minutes, we'll get you back. Our other stations will be returning, and then we'll want to get your telephone number and your email, pardon me, your website out there, so they'll be able to go to that. But right now, let's talk a little bit about some of the other things that I think many of our listeners certainly would be concerned about. One of them is the massive increase of government funding for federal education. Now, my concern is that I don't think the federal government can even get a good educational system of the District of Columbia, which is the only part of the entire nation they're really supposed to do anything as far as education is concerned. But now they seem to want to direct education all across America. They've appropriated, I don't know, 60 or I don't know how many billion dollars, but I think the federal educational budget's somewhere around $60 billion. Are you concerned about this certainly a massive expansion of federal control over the educational system?
I don't understand that, Stan. And again, let people go to my website at claymansenate.com, K-L-A-Y-M-A-N-Senate.com, claymansenate.com, and see my positions. I don't understand why the federal government is meddling in education. Under Newt Gingrich and under Ronald Reagan, Republicans said they wanted to abolish the Department of Education. This is not a federal function. We should keep our hands off. We can manage better at the state and local level. Here in Florida, Jeb Bush, our governor, to his credit, came up with Florida One, which is almost identical to No Child Left Behind of his brother. Now, why do we need No Child Left Behind if we have Florida One? And why are we wasting our money on federal educational programs when the state obviously can take care of itself? So, you know, we don't have a Republican leadership in the Senate, and the president, frankly, has been inattentive to what is going on over in the Senate and in the House of Representatives. And simply what they are doing is buying votes. They're handing out the candy to try to convince people to vote Democrat. But if you keep handing out candy like that, vote Republican, that was Freudian too. If in fact you become the Democratic Party, then what is your reason for being? And my party right now, as it currently exists, is not a Republican Party. I want to return it to a true Republican Party. It's a great party. It has great principles. It's the party of Lincoln and Reagan. But we haven't been that at all. And frankly, the president hasn't been that way either. I want him to win. I'm going to work for him. But he needs some strong leadership up there, and he needs some better advice, because he's been going in the wrong direction.
Well, I certainly agree with you, Larry. I've been a Republican all my life. I spent well over a decade on the Republican Central Committee, almost a decade and a half on the Republican Central Committee here in the state of California. But when I realized that the leadership here in California and at the national level was not backing Republican principles, I simply resigned my position on the Republican Central Committee, because I'm not going to work with people who are in positions of power who do not believe in Republican principles. And that would certainly be fiscal responsibility, cutting back on government, a balanced budget, and certainly most of all, the traditional moral values that once made America the envy of the world. At one time, we held the high moral position. My fear is that we've pretty well lost that high moral position, and we've got to reclaim that.
I can understand how you feel, and I've taken the position that I don't accept what the current Republican Party is doing either, and I'm going to change it and put it back to where it should be. It's a little bit like believing in the state of Israel, which I do believe in and I support deeply, but you don't have to agree with the leaders of Israel.
Hold that thought right there.
To be a Zionist.
Hold that thought right there. Okay, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Larry Klayman, who is running for the Republican nomination for the United States Senate in the great state of Florida. And we've simply been talking about a couple of the other issues. And certainly Larry Klayman certainly shares our concern and my concern about federal government dabbling in education and the massive federal Department of Education, which Ronald Reagan kept talking about doing away with, and unfortunately he didn't do away with it. And when you've got a monster, why, you've got to get it to do away with it, or it's going to grow exactly as the Department of Education has. Well, now, Larry, you were talking about, of course, your candidacy. Would you like to get out your website and how people could get in touch with you if they'd like to help? Because I think this is a very important race. We're going to have Tom Coburn running in Oklahoma. And if we could get Tom Coburn and Larry Klayman in the United States Senate, it would certainly, I think, begin to change the complexion of that august body. So how can people get in touch with you if they'd like to help?
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it. I need the financial support right now, and I ask for that because I want to do some more advertising and get out there in the next week. And you can contribute off of our website at claymansenate.com, K-L-A-Y-M-A-N, Senate.com, claymansenate.com.
All right, fine. I think that's I'm glad you've got something that people can remember. Some of my friends set up websites, and nobody can even spell their name, much less, of course, even find it on the Internet.
Well, the only tricky part is the K rather than the C.
So. All right, fine. And I know Larry. I've known him for some time. He was the president of Judicial Watch, worked for many years, did a wonderful job there in Washington, D.C., representing conservative principles. We've got John calling from Santa Cruz. John, did you have a question?
Just a comment.
All right.
And it may sound defeatist, but my inquiry and my mindset is like, okay, if we believe that revelation is what it is and globalism is going to happen regardless of what we do, yeah, we're the salt of the earth, and we should keep, fight the fight until the end. But on the other hand, it's almost like trying to keep sort of this beast that's going to happen regardless of what we do from happening.
All right, fine. Did you ever read the story of Noah, of Jonah? And what happened at the time of Jonah? Why he actually went to Nineveh and the people repented, and God put off the judgment upon Assyria there for, you know, 60 or 80 years. Larry, how would you respond to John, who's coming from a conservative Christian point of view, but he says it's going to happen anyway? Why should we be involved? Would that be a fair statement, John?
I think so, Stan.
Okay, fine. Then, Larry, how would you respond to him? Because there are a lot of people who feel that way. Oh, we don't have to be involved. Everything's going to be taken care of whether we stand up and do anything or not.
Yeah, you know, one other point, Dr. Stan, is,
right.
Okay, if we don't, if we believe that we're just going to pop off the planet, in the rapture, that's wonderful. But if we actually believe we're going through it, then it seems to me that during that time, the body's going to be perfected.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get Larry's response, and then I'll tell you my response to that. Go ahead.
And I don't profess to be a theologian, but I can tell you how I feel myself. And I'm a devout Christian, but I don't put myself in the shoes of the clergy. But I do believe that God put us here. Only He knows what He's going to do with us.
Yes.
We have to do His work and do our best to make it a better place. We can't give up. He doesn't want us to give up. And we cannot presume to be, as enlightened as he obviously is. So we have to keep punching, so to speak. That's maybe the easiest way to put it.
All right, John, let me just respond a couple of things. First of all, what you're talking about is exactly the way the people of Germany, the Christians of Germany, felt back in the 1930s and early 1940s.
Lutherans?
No, I'm saying that this was the way the people of Germany felt. The Christians, this was the theology that was being preached from the pulpits there, and they were giving it Romans 13. If you'd like to get into the background, there's a wonderful book called Hitler's Cross, written by Erwin Lutzer, who's the senior pastor at the Moody Bible Church. And they neutralized the whole Christian community there, into doing absolutely nothing. Because, of course, the Lord was coming at any time, Hitler was the Antichrist, and you shouldn't be involved, you should simply obey him, because that's what it says in Romans 13. Well, I saw Germany after that. I was stationed there as a military officer. As far as you could see, with the rubble of the German cities, because the people were not involved. In the scriptures, it tells us we don't know when the Lord is coming. What happens if the tribulation begins 30 years after America's fallen? Then what do you say? And I think that this defeatist attitude, which a lot of people have, is exactly the message that Satan is trying to get out. I think it's about time we did what was right, realizing the battle may be up to the Lord, but he expects us to be involved. Hey, we're out of time, John. Thanks so very much.
10-4, guys. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Larry Klayman, and we've been talking about his senatorial race, which I think is a very important one in the state of Florida, and we need people who really believe, in conservative principles. We saw in Pennsylvania where we had a race between a good conservative and between Arlen Specter, who really ought to be a Democrat, but he's not, and of course, unfortunately, Arlen Specter won because the Republican establishment poured everything they could into that, and it was really a very, very narrow race. The conservative almost won, and had it not been, I believe, because he was betrayed by the Republican leadership, we might have had another good conservative in the United States Senate. But the old adage is, you never give the suckers an even chance. Well, let's go right now to Roger, who's calling from Pennsylvania. Roger, do you have a question or comment for our guest this evening, Larry Klayman?
Yes, thanks. And I think Specter only clipped ahead by us on the crummy 16,000 point margin. I want to remind folks to bolster Larry Klayman, because like in California, it was, I believe, McClintock, the exit polling revealed that those voters were voting for Schwarzenegger merely out of paranoia rather than popularity, that if they voted their heart and mind, that McClintock would have taken the governorship of the state.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think that's why we have to back people that we believe in rather than, of course, going along with the establishment. And I'll tell you,
thank
the establishment
you, right?
was certainly in favor of Arnold Schwarzenegger, and that's when I actually resigned my position on the Central Committee. Go ahead, Larry, pick up your...
The situation in Florida is unbelievably similar to what we've seen in California recently and in Pennsylvania. You might remember before we had the recall in California, you had the White House, the Bush White House, supporting Richard Reardon of Los Angeles to become governor, and it was Bill Simon that beat him, but the Washington establishment wanted Reardon. They wanted a liberal Republican, and they failed. Now, unfortunately, in Pennsylvania, the White House decided to support Arlen Specter, and because of that pressure, and the president went out and actually campaigned for Specter strongly, Specter was able to eke it out. In Florida, we have a similar situation where you have Mel Martinez, a former Housing and Urban Development Secretary, someone who was a Democrat, someone who Bush chose because he wanted to woo the Hispanic community. I might add, I'm very close with the Hispanic community. I've done a lot for them here in discrimination cases. I have fought Fidel Castro. I represented the Julian Gonzalez family. So I don't give up any votes to the Hispanic community. But Bush wanted him in there because of the name recognition.
Hold that thought for just a minute, Larry. We're going to bring our stations back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Larry Klayman, who's the candidate for the United States Republican nomination for the United States Senate in Florida. The election's coming up in just about a week or so. And Larry, of course, needs your help. And if you possibly can, why, go to his website at Klaymansenate.com. That's Klayman with a K. ClaymanSenate.com. And is there a telephone number that people can...
Yes, 786-497-2926. 786-497-2926. And you just leave a message and we'll call you back.
Okay, that's 786-497-2926. All right, fine. And, of course, Larry, you were talking about... go ahead.
Yeah, the point I was making is that the establishment in Washington, Karl Rove in the White House, and the Republican Senate leadership are trying to do the same thing with Mel Martinez that they did with Arlen Specter. They're trying to push him through. He is a liberal. He is not a Christian conservative, although he claims he is. He had a change of heart in the last few weeks. He's become strongly pro-life, so he claims, but he never showed any inclination before that. And we would not want to see the same thing happen here as happened in Pennsylvania. And that's why I need the help of the people, because we are going up against the Washington establishment. They do not want Christian conservatives in the Congress. They don't want people that are going to stand on principle, that are uncompromising. They want yes men. And that's, unfortunately, a sad fact of life. We need to represent the people. We don't have to represent the Washington fat cats who walk around with the same hair dye and same cufflinks all the time. No lack of respect intended. I can give you a funny story about Arlen Specter.
Oh, yes.
It's funny. It's sad. I was in there about a year ago, before I left Judicial Watch, with an FBI agent who had information as to how we had dropped the ball leading up to 9/11. His name is Robert Wright. Just in the last few days, a couple radical Islamicists, the one named Marsouk, was indicted. Wright wanted to have him indicted a decade ago, but he was thwarted from doing it. And I was talking to Specter because Wright was being persecuted by the FBI, was being retaliated against. And I went through this whole litany of what was going on. I asked for Specter's help with the FBI, and at the end of the conversation he said to me, and he walked up to me, we're only like a couple feet apart, he said, "Where did you get your suit?" And I said, "Senator, what are you talking about? Where did you get your suit?" I said, "I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying." It was so out of you know, left field. He said, "The thing you're wearing, where did you get it?" Right? And I said, "Oh, well, you know, it was when I was visiting Peter Paul in Brazil, I got that." He says, "Oh, darn, I guess I can't get one." You know, I mean, this is what was on his mind. And, you know, it's the status, it's the pomp, it's going to White House parties, it's all this other stuff. It's not representing the people. And we don't need another senator like Arlen Specter up there. You know, we need a true conservative, and that's why I'm running.
Well, I'm so glad you are running, and I just hope and pray that you're going to be able to pull this off. Well, certainly, Roger, did you have another question for Larry Klayman?
Well, just this ostensible Christian or conservative pragmatism of paranoia of voting for the Republican establishment favorites is just going to take us to hell in a slightly slower handbasket, if that, since there's no real policy differences with the Democrat machine.
Roger, you're right, and there currently is not, unfortunately. But our party can be a great party. We don't have to abandon the party. We can bring it back, and we can go to the people.
Things that Tommy Wise up
right now.
Tommy Wise up and stop being saps. God bless you.
All right, fine. Thanks so very much, Roger. And of course, if our telephone number is of course 1-888-24-Liberty. That's 1-888-24-Liberty, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we have Matt calling. Hi, Matt. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Great. Thank you.
Do you have a question?
I remember you being interviewed by Mark Scott out of Detroit. Arlen Specter, this out-of-the-blue question, maybe a diversion, but do you suppose he's a Skull and Bones or other secret society members? Because this is the guy who fabricated the magic bullet theory to explain the Warren Commission's decision on...
No, I don't think he's Skull and Bones. He's certainly not on any of the lists that I have. We have the complete list, but he's not there.
Okay.
But he's not certainly a man that I would want to see in the United States Senate, and I wish that he was not going to be there any longer. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Matt. Let's go to John calling from Post Falls. That's Post Falls, Idaho. John, do you have a question?
Well, basically a comment. I'm totally enthusiastic about claiming Larry's candidacy, and one need look no further than the Clinton impeachment trial, which is documented in the book Sellout, to see why the Senate is, U.S. Senate is, as a body, is one order of magnitude more corrupt than any other government body, and we desperately need people like Larry Klayman. Judicial Watch is one of the few groups that even laid a glove on the Clintons and the deposed Clintonists, and they deposed Hillary Clinton, and I know that he would do the right thing if he was in the U.S. Senate.
Yes, it took a lot of...
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It took a lot of courage, I'll tell you, with the Clinton administration, having so many people who had opposed it end up in pine boxes or maybe more expensive caskets. But, you know, even Monica Lewinsky had a list of about 50 people who had opposed Bill Clinton who had met a strange demise. It took a lot of courage to take a stand against the Clinton machine, didn't it, Larry?
Well, I'll let other people be the judge of that, but I will say it wasn't an easy time. Wasn't an easy time if you look at the evolution of it. It was very difficult. I was threatened frequently in many different ways. And, you know, someday I'll write my book, Stan, because half the story has never been told. Actually, most of it's never been told. But it takes a toll on you. It takes a toll on your family. But look, our founding fathers had bounties on their heads. I mean, they had a much tougher time than we have today. But if you look at the Senate, the caller's absolutely right. We let Clinton go. What's the consequence of that? Not only do we have an Osama bin Laden, who was obviously doing other things as Bill Clinton was messing around with interns and selling out to the Chinese and gathering FBI files, selling pardons and stealing White House furniture just for starters, but we also now see that he's coming back. And his book, you know, tries to rehabilitate him. John Kerry has nearly all the same advisors. Look at Sandy Berger. The only Clinton criminal, the only Clinton ever to been Clinton official ever to be caught committing crime with his pants up.
Okay, anything else, John?
I had to get that joke in.
Right. Anything else?
Yeah, yes, briefly, gentlemen. I can't overemphasize the importance of the impeachment trial, how serious it was to American history. Not only did the Chi-Coms achieve multi-staging by the sellout, but it was also a sellout in regards that you ask a teenager now, is oral sex sex? And they'll say no, and oral venereal disease is rampant in this country. And nothing's been done about it. Clinton is sort of a national hero to the left, and he's never been brought to justice. And Larry Klayman and people like Alan Keyes and Tom Coburn could do it. They could do it in the U.S. Senate, and they need to be elected.
We could do it, and I would do it. And the first thing I would do up there is to walk over to the Ethics Committee and get all those ethics complaints that are filed against Hillary Clinton out. And I would use the investigative powers of the Senate against Mrs. Clinton and others like her the way Nixon used them against Alger Hiss, the communist spy. We need to set an example. And yes, the Clintons are coming back. They will come back through the door, God forbid, if John Kerry is elected President of the United States.
Okay, thanks very much, John. Let's go to
Thank you.
We've got another John. He's calling from Yakima. Is that Yakima, Washington?
Yes.
Okay, good to have you with us. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, both. I'm upset with this free trade policy, and our government, the politicians are offering us almost nothing but rhetoric, and I haven't seen any dialogue with the people about this policy. This is a huge change in our economic policy. The decent thing, is to first of all give us information, and the second of all have some dialogue with us.
But you see, they don't want your input. The decision's already made, John. They know exactly what they're going to do. And the only thing is they want to let you, of course, air once in a while what you feel. But until we have a change in administration, at least a change in the position of our leaders in both political parties, we're going to continue this course of globalism. Larry, how would you respond to John, who's very upset about globalism?
I have a couple questions I'd like to direct you to.
The root cause of what's happening here is that we tend to sell out to those economic interests that pay the most money to the politicians. So I saw this as a trade lawyer. I was a trade lawyer for many years. I was a trial lawyer here in Miami. I went to the Justice Department, became an antitrust lawyer. I did trade after that. And I can tell you the money as spread around is what creates these distortions in trade, and that's why we have these unfair trade agreements, because certain economic interests have literally bribed our government politicians, quote, legally bribed them in many ways. So this is why we have these problems out there, and we don't protect American interests that don't have enough money to protect themselves. That's what it's all about.
Anything else, John?
I called once before about this, and I do believe we need a real debate. I'd like to see something where two panels of people for and against free trade could ask their questions and have the thing last for several hours. I don't want just some little softball questions and rhetoric answers. I want to really get down to the nitty-gritty. Just a couple of questions. I've got a lot of questions I'd like to ask, but a couple simple ones.
We'll give you one because we've got another person on the line, but you have one good question. Go ahead.
Well, one question. This is a constitutional right to be able to raise tariffs and to control international commerce. Do we need an amendment to the Constitution to go forward with this thing?
All right, fine.
No, we don't. What we currently have is a system where, in theory, we are trying to create open markets by having everybody play by the same rules.
We are abolishing tariffs.
No, but John, let him answer. Go ahead.
Yeah, but okay. The problem with that is that we never negotiated that, is that we give benefits and breaks that other countries are unwilling to give. And here I am sitting here in Miami. I'm looking in the direction of Brazil. And Brazil is very happy to negotiate the Free Trade Agreement of Americas as long as it gets all the rights and we get all the liabilities. We can't go along with that.
I think, John, what you have to understand is this is part of a much bigger program, and that is to lower the living standards of the American people, to transfer our wealth to other countries.
What I'm getting at is the Constitution says that our government has the right to raise tariffs, and our free trade policy lowers tariffs to zero.
All right,
and it eliminates our power to raise them ever again.
Yes, but you see, Congress has voted for it. That's why we need to change Congress and the Senate. Thanks very much. Let's go to Joe in Post Falls, and I think John feels very, very strongly about this, and I agree with his concerns. But we have to understand this is part of something much bigger. Joe in Post Falls, Idaho, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Doctor.
Have a question there?
Yes, I do. Your guest mentioned the $7,000+ billion of debt that we carry in this nation.
No, that's $7.3 trillion. That's almost $7.338 trillion, I think, as of October. But go ahead.
Yeah, I just put it in terms that we rarely use $7,000 billion or
$7 billion.
All right. Anyways, I want to know. Who collects if we default? What do they collect, and how are they going to collect?
All right. If we were to default on the debt, how would they collect? And what are your thoughts on that, Larry?
Well, we'll just print more money.
That's the answer, you see.
That's what they'll do, and we'll go into a super hyperinflation.
And they'll wipe out the value of the dollar, and that is the logical end result of exactly where we're going, Joe. This isn't the first time it's ever happened. You'll want to get hold of my August newsletter, because I cover exactly what's going on. I tell you what Warren Buffett thinks. I tell you what Alan Greenspan really thinks, not what he's telling the American people, but what he wrote back in 1966, before he... compromised his position and joined the other side. He knows exactly what's going on.
Here's the thing, and, you know, there's some positive signs within the Bush administration, although they're not significant enough. A positive sign recently is the decision of the president to pull troops out of Germany and other parts of the world, and I hope that he's serious about that, and I hope he accelerates that quickly, because it's about time that we let the Europeans pay their own way.
All right, let's get
and that'll save some money. But
let's get Larry's comment on that. How do you feel about the president pulling troops out of Europe, or is he really pulling them out of Europe and going to move them to another area of Europe, like into Poland and some of the Eastern European bloc nations?
Well, I certainly hope not, because it's time that the Europeans stood on their own 2 feet, and I know many Europeans who feel the same way. The reason that we have those troops in Europe is because we think we can exert influence on the Europeans. We now know that we can't, so why bother? Let them have their own European defense agency, which they have. They have a European Union. It's now 25 countries. They can defend themselves. But I also want to know, on the other side of the coin, why it is we have to be a sugar daddy in countries like Iraq. Why is it that we have to pay with American taxpayer money for reconstruction of Iraq when we should be pumping Iraqi oil and putting the money back in Iraq? And these are the kinds of things I don't understand. So you have one side of the equation, which seems to be going in a positive direction, yet on the other side of the equation, we have Iraq, which is a bottomless pit, where there's no end in sight. Now, I was in favor of going into Iraq. I would have done it sooner. I wouldn't have asked for permission by the United Nations. We dilly-dallied about for 9 months. It's no wonder we can't find weapons of mass destruction. But since we've now, quote, liberated them, let them pay for their own bill. And for us to be investing billions in there when it's very uncertain that they're ever going to be a democratic country, given all of the factions that hate each other there, I think it's a very bad investment on our part, so let them pay for it. And I think it's about time we cut back on foreign aid.
All right, Joe, do you have any other... one more question.
Yeah. What is the collateral on that $7-plus trillion of debt?
All right. What is the collateral?
There is no collateral. We don't have gold as a standard anymore. There is no collateral.
Is land collateral?
No, we depend on investment from foreign countries to pay the bill. And that's what's dangerous, because we try to create incentives for foreign interests to put money in this country, and we're selling America.
I think you have to understand, Joe, see what Argentina did about 2.5 years ago when they defaulted on their national debt, $100 billion in national debt. They just said, sorry, we'll give you 25 cents on the dollar, take it or leave it, because otherwise you're getting nothing. And most people are going to be glad to get a fraction. We'll just probably inflate away the value of the dollar and pay them with worthless dollars. I think that's the way we're going. Hey.
Well, best to you, and that's all I had. And thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless you. Let's go to Jeff calling from Minnesota. Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
Hi, great. I was wondering how the treaty law became supreme law of the land, and the 17th Amendment, which terminated the controlling independent sovereign nation states over the Senate.
What was the question specifically?
Could we repeal the 17th Amendment, and could we go back to a gold standard, and how did treaty law become the supreme law of the land?
All right, fine. Let's take the first question. How did the treaty become the supreme law of the land, Larry?
Well, I'm not sure it is the supreme law of the land, but in practice it's become that. The Constitution does not make it the supreme law of the land. It simply says that the president has the ability to enter into treaties with the advice and consent of the Senate. But it's not the supreme law of the land. Unfortunately, we have created that situation.
Hold that thought, right? And you hang on there, Jeff. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, the last segment of our time, and Jeff is calling from Minnesota. Our guest, of course, this evening is Larry Klayman, and he used to be with Judicial Watch. Now he is the one of the candidates running for the Republican nomination. Now, you asked Jeff if we could go back on the gold standard. In other words, go back to something that we would tie our money to rather than this ethereal concept of faith and confidence in the government. So, Larry, how do you feel about some sort of a gold standard or something solid behind our currency? Certainly Europe has a 15% gold backing. The Swiss have about a 50% gold backing for their currency. And the Arabs are going, of course, to a gold-backed dinar. What should we be doing and what should we be considering?
I think it makes sense. You know, I used to work for Jack Kemp. He believes in that. And you got to tie it to something. There has to be some reality to the value of the dollar. We don't have it right now.
And I think
it's a good idea.
I think, Jeff, if you see what's happening throughout the world, I think that some of the countries are actually increasing their gold supply. In fact, Russia just added, I think, another $60 billion to their gold supply. They're almost up to $80 or $90 billion of gold behind their currency. So they're going to have a gold-backed currency, and we're going to have a worthless currency, I fear, very, very soon. Anything else you wanted to ask?
Well, Dr. Stan, yes. In fact, John Kennedy signed that executive order. Why couldn't, it sounds like the treaty law exercise is a congressional granted privilege. So why can't Congress simply do what JFK did, just restore U.S. Treasury money backed by silver, since that's quite ubiquitous? Why can't we do that?
Well, how are you going to get the votes out of Congress?
Well, yeah, that's a good question.
Let's get Larry's response on that, and thank you so very much for calling, Jeff. How would you respond? Is there anything that we can do through Congress? Are we just going to have to get some people in there that got some starch in the spine?
Well, you know, I tried to do it from the outside. I held their feet to the fire. And you can have a limited impact. It's much stronger if you can be like a Trojan horse and go inside and bring that Trojan horse through the gates, and then use the powers against the government. That's what I intend to do. I'm literally, Stan, going to set up a judicial watch inside of the Senate and work from the inside out, which should frighten the heck out of everybody there.
Well, we're out of time.
It's probably why they came up with Martinez.
Anyway, Larry, thank you so very much for being with us. Our guest has been Larry Klayman. His telephone number is 786-497-2926. That's 786-497-2926. And, of course, his website is claimansenate.com. God bless you. Thank you so much.
God bless to you, Stan. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly I've known Larry Klayman for a number of years. We've interviewed him before. We've met him. We go to meetings with him. And I think he's an outstanding gentleman. He's been a crusader for the righteous and for certainly the underdog in Washington, D.C., and through Judicial Watch. I'm sure that he was on the most hated list during the Clinton years there in the White House. So I certainly wish him well, and I hope many of you out there will feel the same way about his candidacy. Well, this is the time when we have to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty really is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day. As you know, you can hear us on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com, or we're on some radio station across America. Most of them we have to pay to be on. But that's the only way we're going to reach people who don't know there's a problem. And then, of course, we also are 4 hours a day on the Internet. Pardon me, 4 hours a day on shortwave. We're 4 hours a day on satellite, and hopefully very soon we'll be 5 hours a day on satellite. So if you'd like to consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, why it's available with the same number, just give us a call. And my July newsletter tells you what really happened on September 11th. My August newsletter tells you what Alan Greenspan really thinks and believes, what Warren Buffett really thinks and believes. And I think you'll find it a fascinating insight into what's going on. Now, if you cannot subscribe to the newsletter, you could find it up on the Internet. The August newsletter won't be posted yet. The July newsletter should be posted at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. We hope you'll go to our website and look at the various items that are listed there, because they do help us, maintain our message going out all across America. If you really want to understand the background to the war in Iraq, let me suggest the video, Iraq, the Untold Story. That's Iraq, the Untold Story. There's a syllabus that goes with that that will document everything we say and give you many original letters that we have, a letter that Winston Churchill sent to H.G. Wells, a letter that FDR sent to... that the ambassador in Germany sent to Colonel House, actually, back in 1936, talking about how American corporations were building up Adolf Hitler. Because in that instance, we created the best enemy that American money could buy. Just as with Saddam Hussein, we created the best enemy money could buy. We built him up, we financed him, and then we bombed him for 10 years to weaken him, and then we attacked him. And yet, of course, we had supported him and financed him all during the 1980s. Why did we do that? If you read the book by Robert Byrd entitled A Scene of Evil, you'll find out that every time the Iraqi military tried to overthrow Saddam Hussein, we intervened and betrayed the Iraqi military. We were keeping Saddam in power on one hand and, of course, undermining his regime with the other. It doesn't make sense. As Robert Byrd, a former CIA agent stationed in Iraq, said, "I never met an Iraqi that didn't believe the United States government was keeping Saddam Hussein in power." It's all verified if you read through my newsletters. We actually carry the book, Scene of Evil by Robert Byrd. And, of course, this went through CIA censors before it was released. So it's a fascinating book. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, because, truly, if America doesn't turn back to God, is there any reason why God should ever again bless this country? We ask you to pray for our leaders and for our ministers, because we're told to. And then we ask you to remember my ministry, Radio Liberty, and, of course, to pray for our provision and our protection. And so, until tomorrow evening at the same time, when we'll be with you once again, why, this is Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we'll welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us this evening a very special guest. We've had him on actually on our other two programs today because I think his message is so vitally important at this time. As we see oil prices rising almost to $50 a barrel, and let me suggest that this is just the beginning. As the old adage goes, you haven't seen anything yet. If you look and see what's happening, why the increasing price of oil is going to have a profound impact, not only on your costs at the gasoline pump, but of course at the cost of everything you buy in the stores and in the department stores and the hardware stores, because all of those things are brought in by truck. It's going to have an real difficult impact on the airlines, who are really so dependent on the cost of the fuel that they use, and they have to, of course, keep that price down, or they can't make any money. If the price goes up too much of the fuel, why they lose money? And of course, we already see Northwest Airlines, Delta Airlines on the verge of bankruptcy. We actually see the United Airlines certainly in bankruptcy and threatening to stop funding their pension funds. Well, if they stop funding their pension fund, then the government agency, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which is federally funded, has to pick that up. The only trouble is they're $12 billion behind right now, and they're saying don't let United Airlines default on their pension fund. No, they can't do that because we don't really have the money to pay them. They're already paying for defaults by 350 American corporations that have gone under and are not paying their pension funds. And, of course, if the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation gets into trouble, you're talking $500 billion to $1 trillion in pensions that is just not going to get paid. And if the government's going to come up with that, they're just going to have to print more money to meet another promise, another socialist promise that they've made without any funding behind it. So there are lots of problems that are going to come along with the rising price of oil. And, of course, is there really an oil shortage? Well, if you read the newspapers, of course you know there's an oil shortage. You notice that all the easily recoverable oil is gone. There's none more. And we're totally dependent upon the Middle East, which is one reason we've got to be over there. And our boys have got to be dying on the sands of Iraq because we've got to have the oil and we've got to keep the prices down. The only trouble is, since we went in over there, the price has gone up. And that doesn't quite make sense. But is anything we think we know really true? Well, with us is Lindsay Williams, who for 3 years at least was the chaplain on the oil pipeline that was built from Prudhoe Bay down to Valdez, and that was an 800-mile pipeline, and he was the chaplain working on that in the early 70s. In 1980, he wrote a book called The Energy Non-Crisis, and that book is as apropos today as it was when he wrote it, because it tells you that everything you're being told just isn't true. And I've actually checked out this story. I got hold of one of the people he mentions in his book, Mr. Lawler. And I talked to him. He's a high executive with BP Petroleum. And he had verified everything Lindsay Williams is going to tell you this evening. And I think it's so vitally important that you understand that what you're being told by Rush Limbaugh and by Bill O'Reilly and by Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw and the U.S. News and World Report and the media just isn't true. Well, I guess this evening is Lindsay Williams. Lindsay, how are you tonight?
Dr. Stan, thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show tonight. And I like when the person called a moment ago, they said, this is Radio Liberty. And if there's anything this evening that we would like to see for the American people is liberty. And I think it's very appropriate that I'm on your show on Radio Liberty tonight. And talking about energy, talking about the price of that gallon of gasoline, talking about the price of crude oil. So thank you for letting me be on your show.
Well, why don't you just tell our listeners just a little bit about your background and how it happened that you were the chaplain on the oil pipeline there in the early 1970s.
Well, it all began in 1970. I was a missionary in the state of Alaska. I was unknown, had never written a book in my life, never even took journalism in high school or college. I heard that they were going to build the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. That was the largest pipeline ever constructed on the face of the earth. It was supposed to go from the Arctic Ocean, way up in northern Alaska, down to Valdez, Alaska, 800 miles away, and was 4 feet in diameter. They said 25,000 pipeliners were going to converge on the state of Alaska to build that pipeline. Well, being a missionary and having been a Baptist pastor for 30 years, the first thing that came to my mind was 25,000 of some of the most wicked, cussing, just drinking, just folks on the face of the earth. They must need some spiritual guidance. And believe you me, that was the understatement of the year when I finally arrived on the pipeline. But I went to the Alaska Pipeline Service Company, that company which was formed by 12 major oil companies to build that big pipeline. And I said, don't you need a chaplain? They said, well, we never had a chaplain on any pipeline in the world. We wouldn't know what to do with you. After all, there's nothing but work camps up there and desolation, Arctic wilderness. Well, I kept going back and back and back, and I guess my persistence paid off because after a while they said, okay, we'll allow you to have the seven northern camps. I did not realize at the time that that was the providence of God, if anything ever has been in my life, in allowing me to have the position in the very northern camps where the executives, where the top men, where the controllers of the world would come in. And about 6 months after I went on the pipeline, Mr. R.H. King came to me one day and he said, Chaplain, you're saving us thousands of dollars of counseling fees. We'd like to give you executive status. And I said, well, what is executive status? He said, well, you can go any place you'd like to, see anything you want to see. We'll give you a vehicle. You can travel around on the pipeline. And we'd like you to help host dignitaries that come to the pipeline. And we'd like to ask you also to sit in on our board meetings in an advisory capacity.
Hold that thought right there. We got to bring our other stations back online here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Lindsay Williams, and of course he was a missionary to the pipeline, to the people working on the pipeline, the 25,000 roughnecks, I guess you might call them that, who were working on this oil pipeline in the early 1970s, and after he had been there for about 6 months, they actually invited him to have executive status, and they gave him a car, and they invited him to attend the board meetings to advise them on the things that they might be able to do to get along better with their employees, because he was doing such a good job. He was saving them thousands of dollars in counseling services. And so now Lindsay Williams, a man who'd been a pastor for 30 years, and now he's a missionary, suddenly he has the opportunity of sitting in the boardrooms with some of the most powerful men in the world, hearing their discussions about how they're going to manipulate the world, how they're going to get this oil out, and pick up the story from there, Lindsay.
Well, Dr. Stan, if someone had asked me in 1970, do you believe there's a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world, manipulate nations, tell presidents what to do, and tell currencies where they go? If I would have said, who are you, a John Bircher? And I would have laughed at them. If someone had asked me 3 years after I finished the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline and I wrote my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, if someone had said to me, Lindsay, do you believe there's a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world, the nations, presidents, governments, currency, I would have said, not only do I believe it, I sat in their board meetings and listened to them talk about it. I will never be the same person again as long as I live. By the providence of God, I was allowed to sit across the dinner table from, to live in the same dorms with, to sit in board meetings with some of the most manipulative, power-controlling executives, leaders in finance in the world to help host dignitaries that came to the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. No one will ever be able to say, Lindsay, you don't know what you're talking about, because I was there. I saw it. I heard it. I remember one night I went back to my dorm room after being in a board meeting with these people, and I lay down on the bed in my dorm room, looked up at the ceiling, and I said, oh, God, I can't believe that there is such a group of people on the face of this earth who literally plan the control of nations. And the Arabs don't control the price of a barrel of oil. OPEC has nothing to do with it. It's all controlled by the people who sit behind the computers in New York and London and tell OPEC every day, what they're going to give them for a barrel of oil. Crude oil, right now, nearly $50 a barrel, and we thought $32 a barrel was high during the years of the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. And just today, crude oil per barrel, the hedge fund futures is $65 for the month of December.
Now, of course,
we're definitely expecting something.
In other words, the people in the hedge funds think that the price of oil is going to go up at least to $65 a barrel. And for every dollar that increases, this has a tremendous impact as far as our economy is concerned. And this is going to really devastate the economic recovery, isn't it?
Oh, positively. In fact, it's going to affect the life of every person listening to this program tonight. Where does the price of that $2 a gallon gasoline that you pay at the gas pump, where does that money go to? Some people say, well, it goes to the person that owns the gas station. No, just a little bit maybe. The refineries, they get some of it, and the Arabs get a little bit more. No. Who really gets that money? The men who control the world. The minds of these people, I wish you could understand them as I saw them and lived with them and talked with them. They feel that they have a God-given right to control us stupid human beings who haven't got sense enough to direct our own destiny. And any time the price of a gallon of gas is over $2 a gallon at the gas pump, the people who control the world make over $60 billion per year. This is a form of taxation. Now, if they came in and said, John Doe, I'm going to tax you with an income tax that's going to go to the World Bank, we would immediately say, no, you're not going to do that. I pay nothing but internal revenue into my country. But at the gas pump, they're doing exactly that. They are imposing a form of taxation on every American at the gas pump, and it's going directly into the coffers of the World Bank, who is controlling the third world countries and is manipulating our government and is controlling our currency, and every bit of it is by design, plan, and by the providence of God. I had the privilege of sitting in their board meetings and listening to what they had to say, and afterwards I said, I cannot keep quiet. They haven't paid me anything, yet they did not tell me not to say anything. So I said, I have no alternative. As an honest Christian believer and American, I must tell the story. And as a result, I've written 6 books. My first one was the book, The Energy Non-Crisis. And tonight, before our program is over, I would like to tell the listening audience how I can give you, that is correct, these are full-length books, over 200 pages, not just little pamphlets. I'd like to give you as a gift four of my books because I feel such an urgency. And our country is being literally controlled by these people, and we are under the pressure of the Arabs and what's happening in the Middle East, and we do not have time to waste. People must know the facts and be able to document and prove what they hear, and to be able to say, this is something that I can prove to you that's so. So as a result, so with some videotapes that I'll talk about later, I want to give you a copy of 4 of my books so that you can know the facts and then spare your family the heartache and pain of the control of these manipulators of the world.
Well, I think it's important for people to understand that there is plenty of oil. We have simply been blocked for drilling for oil here in this country, and every time they want to drill any place, oh, the environmentalists are there. Now, who funds environmentalists? Well, they're funded by our great corporations. They're funded by our great tax-exempt foundations. They're funded by our government. They're always giving the environmentalists of large funds of money. You and I went to the government to try to get the money. We wouldn't get it. And, of course, the media, working right along with it, great foundations, the great corporations, even some of the oil corporations are funding the environmentalists. Now, why would you do something that foolish unintentionally? And it's not unintentional at all. They wanted the crisis. They blocked the development of oil here. They've blocked efforts to drill offshore. They've blocked efforts to drill for natural gas all across America. They've blocked efforts to drill in the Arctic area up there, you know, and there's nothing up there but a couple of reindeer, and they actually like the drilling because it's warm. It keeps them warm in the wintertime. But I think the most amazing part of Lindsay's story is the story of Gull Island. Would you like to tell that story, Lindsay? Because I think this puts to lie everything that you're reading in the controlled media. What's the story of Gull Island? What do you know about it? And, of course, how can we verify it's really so?
Dr. Stan, you're right. It is one of the most amazing stories. It probably is one of the highlights of my time on the North Slope of Alaska. And my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, the foreword to it is written by Senator Hugh Chance, a very prestigious individual who was a state senator in the state of Colorado. He actually went to the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline and verifies what I'm saying, what is said in my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, and the story of Gull Island. He also knew what was taking place up there. I remember one morning I walked into ARCO base camp, and the individual at the front door caught me, Mr. Jim Lawler, and he said, "Lindsay, would you like to see something exciting today?" And I said, "Jim, I'm always in for excitement." And he said, "Well, come on, hop in the pickup truck, and let's go out to the dock where they bring in the big flotilla every year." And he said, "Gull Island's about a mile and a half out in the ocean. You've probably seen the drill rig out there. We've been angle drilling. We've drilled for over a year now, and we think we have struck one of the largest pools of oil on the face of the earth." And he said, "Today we're going to release some of that oil, and it'll tell us a lot of things about what's happening." Well, we drove out there, looked for a few minutes. All of a sudden, a big black plume of smoke went up into the sky, and Jim said, "Lindsay, this is exciting." He said, "I think we must have done it." He said, "Great. Let's hop back in the truck, go back to base camp, and look and see what's coming in from the out there on the field where they're testing all this." Sure enough, we walked into the second story of ARCO base camp, went up and into Mr. Ken Fromm's office. He, by the way, is the Mr. X of my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, the senior executive with Atlantic Richfield, who produced the entire east side of the Prudhoe Bay oil field, and later rewrote my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, with the updated and enlarged edition which we have today. We went in his office, and here stood some of the leading oil companies, officials of the world. They were excited. They were looking at where the pipe was perforated. They were looking at the depth of the field. They were looking at the pressure. They were looking at the content of the oil, the sulfur, and other things. They were so excited, they were almost beside themselves. And Mr. Ken Fromm looked over at me, and he said, "Lindsay, we have done it." I said, "Ken, you've done what?" He said, "We have probably..." He said, "It looks as though we have drilled into the largest pool of oil in America, positively." But he said, "Probably the largest pool of oil on the face of the earth." He said, "We've got as much oil on the North Slope of Alaska as we have in Saudi Arabia." And he said, "Lindsay, we can be energy independent. America will not need the Arabs anymore. We can control our own destiny and our own prices." Those men were so excited, they were beside themselves. Well, the next day, I thought I would go back to base camp and look at the headlines on the newspapers and see huge new oil find, America energy independent. Bright and early that next morning, I walked into base camp. The security guard caught me at the door and said, "You go up to Mr. Fromm's office and sit down right now. Don't you say a word to anybody." I said, "Well, what's the matter?" He said, "Just go up there and sit down." In a few moments, he walked in, didn't have a smile on his face either, and he said, "Lindsay, this information is classified. We aren't going to release it right now. And Dr. Stan, until this day, not one drop of oil has been produced from one of the largest oil pools on the face of the earth, right on America's own soil."
And of course, they know this in the headquarters of the large oil corporations. But of course, they have not let this out. Why? Because they want the crisis. The crisis drives up the price of oil, but even more, it plays into the program of sustainable development and control. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later in the program. But there is a master plan. You better understand what it is. You want to read it. It's laid out in something called the Earth Charter, and we'll be glad to give you a free copy if you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Well, I guess this evening is Lindsay Williams, and we're talking about his book, The Energy Non-Crisis. And this is really an amazing story, written firsthand. And, of course, after Lindsay had written the book, it was rewritten by the chief executive officer of dealing with the drilling up there in the Prudhoe Bay area, Mr. Ken Fromm, and of course the reason. Well, I'm going to let Lindsay tell you the story of why Mr. Lindsay rewrote that book. Do you want to tell the story of Ken Fromm and why he rewrote your book?
Well, Dr. Stan, this is the way that people think. That's the best way to describe it. How the manipulative people of the world, the power controllers of the world, how they think. And this is the most perfect example I can think of is Ken Fromm. Yes, Mr. Ken Fromm was a senior executive with Atlantic Richfield who produced the entire east side of the Prudhoe Bay oil field for Atlantic Richfield. And Ken Fromm gave me the information. He allowed me to see the things that he did. They never told me he could not. Never told him he could not, but after I wrote my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, it came out the first edition in 1980, Ken Fromm was fired by Atlantic Richfield. Now, this is the way these people work. This is the way they think. If only the American people could understand the mindset of the power controllers of the world, and later I wrote a book entitled Syndrome of Control in order to describe it. Well, anyway, they fired Ken Fromm. Ken Fromm called me on the phone one day and he said, Lindsay, I'm so angry I don't know what to do. I'm only a few years away from retirement. I've given my entire life to Atlantic Richfield and here they fired me. And he said, there are just a few things in your book, The Energy Non-Crisis, that are not exactly correct because after all, you're a minister. You're not an oil man. He said, I'd like to rewrite your book because I do not want anything in that book to be wrong. He did. He rewrote and made picture perfect everything in my book, The Energy Non-Crisis. We now have the updated and enlarged edition, and he wrote two additional chapters in the book, one entitled Gull Island Will Blow Your Mind, and then he wrote another chapter which is probably one of the most devastating things to the oil companies you could imagine, and that is if Gull Island didn't blow your mind, this will. Well, after he rewrote the book and we came out with the updated and enlarged edition, what did they do? Exactly the way these people work and think. After all, they don't have the morals that you and I have. They hired him back. That's right. They hired Ken Fromm back, sent him to Houston, Texas, and said, we want you to train the executives that are going to Prudhoe Bay from now on, and gave him an increase in salary, said, whenever you retire, we'll give you an increase to pension. One day, Ken Fromm called me on the phone, and he said, Lindsay, he said, now, they've hired me back. I'm glad I rewrote your book. He said, I can't ever say anything again because, he said, they've given me a big income increase. But he said, let me tell you what's going to happen. And, Dr. Stan, this is the reason that I believe this show tonight, a month or two or three from down the road, whenever they do what they intend to do because of the price of that barrel of oil being there at $50 a barrel, I believe that the listening audience right now is going to consider this program tonight prophetic. And let me tell you why. Ken Fromm, he said to me on the phone one day, he said, Lindsay, oil's $32 a barrel right now. He said, it's going to $11 to $12 per barrel. I said, Ken, that can't happen. This, by the way, was after I was off the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, was out doing some lecturing. And he said, I said, that can't happen. It'll break the Arabs. I said, it'll destroy their economy. And their a socialistic state they've set up over there, a giveaway. Well, he said, Lindsay, don't you know who controls that oil price?
Hold that thought for just a minute, Lindsay, as our stations come back online. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Lindsay Williams, who was the chaplain on the pipeline, on the North Alaska Pipeline back in the early 70s. And, of course, he's written a wonderful book. It's called The Energy Non-Crisis. It came out in 1980. It was actually rewritten by one of the chief executives of Atlantic Richfield, who was mad at the company. And he goes into the story of Gull Island. And, of course, to verify this for my own knowledge and before we really wanted to put our reputation on the line, I actually tracked down one of the people that Lindsay talks about, talked to him. He's an executive for Atlantic Richfield. And his remark to me is this: sure, it's true. There is this gigantic oil field up off the north coast of Prudhoe Bay. It's in Gull Island. That is Gull Island. And he said, I've never understood why they never went after that oil. It's a massive oil field up there. They've known about it going back to the early 1970s. And, of course, Lindsay tells about how one day, of course, about 1980, one of the executives called him and said, good. And at this time, oil was about $33, $38 a barrel, somewhere in there. And Lindsay was told why the price is going to drop to $11 or $13 a barrel. And Lindsay said, "Well, you pick the story up from there, Lindsay, for our listeners who didn't hear what you said before."
Well, it's amazing. This senior executive with Atlantic Richfield said on the telephone, he said, "Lindsay, the price of a barrel of oil is going from $32 a barrel, which it was in those days, to $11 to $12 a barrel." And I said, "Ken, that can't happen. It'll break the Arabs. It will destroy their economy." He said very calmly, "Lindsay, don't you know who controls the price of that barrel of oil?" I thought back to those board meetings I'd sat in with the oil company officials, and I said, "Ken, you're exactly right. You know them, don't you? You're part of them, and you know what they're going to do." He said, "Lindsay, none of it happens by chance. You know it's going to take place." He said, "By the way, are you going on any speaking engagements anytime soon?" I said, yes. I start in Washington State and will wind up in Southern California about 2 months later, speaking almost every night. He said, "Tell your audiences that the price of a barrel of oil is going from $32 a barrel to $12 a barrel and see what happens." Well, I did. They laughed at me. In fact, at times they actually broke out in snickering. But after it happened, my phone almost rang off the hook. They said, "You're a prophet." I said, "No, I'm not a prophet. I just know the people who did it." You see, none of this happens by chance. Oil, $49 a barrel, that's not by chance. Gasoline, $2 a barrel at the gas pump, that's not by chance. What you're doing, what's happening with the economy of America, none of this is by chance. The fact that the hedge fund futures for December for oil is $65 a barrel, that's not by chance. None of this happens by chance, and Senator Hugh Chance found that out. That's correct. He was a senator of the state of Colorado. He asked me if he could come to the pipeline and spend a week with me. He had been a friend of mine for some years. He writes the foreword to my book, The Energy Non-Crisis. He spent 1 week with me at Prudhoe Bay and on the oil pipeline, and he saw everything. They did not deny him anything. He met with Ken Fromm. He met with Jim Lawler. He knew about Gull Island. And the last day he was with me on the pipeline, he said to me, as he just before he got on the airplane to go back to Colorado, he said, "Lindsay, I was sitting in the Senate of the state of Colorado when the men came from Washington, D.C. to brief us as state senators as to the energy crisis and its severity." He said, "Lindsay, almost everything that I was told when I was sitting there in the Senate in the state of Colorado by the men from Washington, D.C., he said, almost everything I was told was the exact opposite of what the truth is." He said, "I was intentionally lied to and misbriefed." And he states that in the foreword to my book, The Energy Non-Crisis.
And now, I think it's so important that people understand that the media is not telling you the truth. Our leaders are not telling us the truth. You see the end result of the manipulation at the gas pump and, of course, in the rising prices. But this is all intentional. They know exactly what they're doing. I think that they just don't want the American people to know. They might rise up in their righteous indignation and put a stop to the elite who control the media, who control our major corporations, who control the leadership of both political parties. And, of course, if you want to know who they are, you really need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. But when we get back from the break we're going to in just a minute, why, Lindsay is going to tell you how you can get his books. He has 4 books, and, of course, the most important book, in my estimation, is his book, The Energy Non-Crisis, which I read back in 1980, and I'm so glad I did, because, of course, it gives you an insight into how they play these little games. And they will continue playing the games until the American people understand that we're not getting the truth through regular channels. There are people who are manipulating the world, who are determining our destiny. And as, of course, President Roosevelt said, in politics, if it happens, it didn't happen by chance. It was planned that way, and that's really what it's all about. Well, we're going to be back in just a minute with Lindsay Williams right here at Radio Liberty, and we'll invite your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 464-8295 here in the Central Coast. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this evening is Lindsay Williams, and we're talking about his book, The Energy Non-Crisis. And of course, Lindsay was told that back in about 1980 that the price, which was $32, was going to drop to $11 or $12. How low did it actually drop, Lindsay?
It actually dropped to a little over $10 a barrel.
All right, fine. So it's all manipulation, and it's all planned ahead of time. But they can't let the American people know that. We're supposed to believe it's the free market, it's supply and demand, and, of course, that is what they want you to believe. No, it's a manipulated market. There's an elite that works together in concert. We have cartels that determine the price of oil. And at this time in history, I think, of course, we're being manipulated into higher prices here. This is part of a long-range plan of redistributing the wealth of the American people. Now, you say, what do you mean redistributing the wealth of the American people? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the master plan that's laid out in the Earth Chart. It was written by that great humanitarian, Mikhail Gorbachev, along with a multi-billionaire, Marie Strong, who really runs the United Nations. Kofi Annan is simply the front for Marie Strong. And Stephen Rockefeller, a man whose family is worth literally trillions of dollars. And if you believe Warren Buffett and Bill Gates are the richest men in the world, why, you've been reading too many comic books recently. The truth of the matter is, of course, their fortunes are dwarfed by the holdings of the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and other international financiers, but they don't want the American people to know who's really running the world. Well, anyway, we have their document. It's called the Earth Charter. You can look it up on the Internet. That's the Earth Charter. Or if you'd like a free copy, why, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Gorbachev calls it the New Ten Commandments because, of course, they hate God, they hate Judaism and Christianity. In fact, they've even put this in something called the Ark of Hope, which is the occult or Luciferian counterpart of the Ark of the Covenant, because this is all spiritual, and it's the attack on Judaism and Christianity. Well, the Earth Charter, if you go to point 10, they talk about redistribution of wealth within nations and between nations. That's redistribution of wealth within nations and between nations. And between nations means that we redistribute the wealth of the American people throughout the rest of the world. And, of course, they're going to ship out our jobs, they're going to ship out our factories, and they're going to destroy the value of our savings. Because as it says in the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, if we're going to have all these people in the world, they're going to have to live at the standards of the Eastern European. That's a peasant status, and that's what they really intend for the American people. You better find out what's really going on. Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this evening is Lindsay Williams. And, of course, our telephone number, if you'd like to call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But before we do anything else that go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your books, Lindsay.
Well, Dr. Stan, first of all, may I say to your listening audience that everything I have heard you say on your programs is true. You are telling the facts and giving out the information the best of anyone that I think I've ever seen in the United States of America. Your listening audience is privileged to have an opportunity to hear about products that we need so desperately in order to survive in this day and time, to hear about the truth that you give out on your program, and I'd like them to have the truth as I saw it on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. So as a result, within just a few months ago, I decided that America is in such a desperate condition that I had no choice but to empty my warehouse, get rid of all the books I've got by giving them away. You heard me correctly. My books are over 200 pages each. None of them are fiction. Every one of them is fact. Things that I lived. Every book, Energy Non-Crisis, was the first in 1980. Then I wrote the book Syndrome of Control, which is the mindset of the international financiers, and then my book To Seduce a Nation, which belongs in the library of every person who believes the Constitution of the United States of America. And then the biggest of all of my books is one entitled You Can Live, which is 263 pages, and it tells you how to be able to stay healthy in the times in which we're living. And I decided that it was time that I stopped just selling these books and giving them away, because, after all, what difference is it going to make if we become slaves they won't be worth anything anyway. So I produced four different videotapes. And with every videotape, I give a set of all four of my books, and each of the books over 200 pages. The first videotape is entitled The Energy Non-Crisis, which is basically what we're talking about on this program today, but a whole lot more. It's a one-hour lecture. A second videotape entitled Vaccinations. Listen, if you will, to Dr. W.B. Clark of Indiana. Cancer was practically unknown until compulsory vaccination with cowpox vaccine began to be introduced. I have had to deal with at least 200 cases of cancer, and I never saw a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person. Oh, you need to know the story of what's happening with vaccinations. And then a third video that I produced entitled, all of these 1 hour long, entitled Deadly New Diseases. It was on the front page of USA Today the other day. Spread of TB aboard airliners confirmed. And it says a horrifying story. A person can cough who has this new strain of TB on the airliner, and by the time they get across America, every person on the airliner can be contaminated with it, and some of them are impervious to the modern-day antibiotics. 783,936 people last year died from medical errors. So can you trust your hospital? Can you trust your doctor's office? But you can trust this videotape, Deadly New Diseases, and learn how to strengthen the immune system. And then the most heart-rending of all of my videos is Torn from the Land, What's Happening to the American Farmer. Oh, what a story, with its own musical score written Hollywood style. Any one of these videotapes or all four of them that you happen to get, I will give you a set of all four of my books with every videotape you get. Just merely call 800-321-2900. Now, I know it's late at night, but there are operators standing by right now if you wish to call. 800-321-2900. And let me give you, as a gift, a set of all four of my books, over 200 pages each.
All right, fine. That's 800-321-2900, and you'll find the books fascinating and well worthwhile. So, and our telephone number here, if you'd like to give us a call, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or out across America at 464-8295. Our guest is Lindsay Williams, who was the chaplain on the pipeline that was built back in the early 1970s. And, of course, his story then of what has actually happened, how he saw the price of oil boosted up artificially and then cut again artificially. And now, of course, as we see it being raised today. And, oh, my goodness, it's, well, they blew up the pipeline over in Iraq. That's the reason that the price is going up so high. They always have an excuse for why this is. Well, if you stop and think of it, they have blocked efforts to drill for oil in this country. They blocked efforts to drill for natural gas in this company. Then the government decreed that all new generating plants, electric generating plants, would use natural gas. So they created an artificial shortage of natural gas in this country to boost the price up, because this is really all about lowering the living standards of the American people. But you cannot tell them that. But what you need to do, of course, is read the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, which came out of the Second Earth Summit in 1992. You can get it at your local store. You can order it. The Global Biodiversity Assessment, Cambridge University Press. Or, of course, you can read the summary in our Sustainable Development Syllabus, about 40 pages. So you can, of course, read the extended version or get the summary, and then you'll know where to look in the Global Biodiversity Assessment. But I've checked it out. It's very, very accurate. It's done by one of our supporters. And you'll find out that they really do intend to lower the living standards of the American people, to get the price of oil up so high we won't be allowed to use our cars. That's why they're putting all the bicycle lanes in all over at least the area where we live. Why? Because they want to get us out of our cars. That's why DHL is suddenly, you find out, these new yellow vehicles going into competition with UPS and with FedEx. This is all about, you're not going to be driving your car. They're going to deliver the things to your house for you. Isn't that great? And, of course, here in the Monterey Bay Area, of course, they want to put in a 7-mile rail line It really has nothing to do with the rail line. It has to do with sustainable housing that will be on that rail line. And nobody's going to pay $9 to go 9 miles on a railway, or $8 or $9 or whatever it's going to cost. It's really all about, sustainable communities where they will control where you live and how you live and what you do. It's all laid out. It's all part of a plan. But an important part of that plan is the impoverishment of the American people. And that's where I think we're going with the price of oil. Well, Lindsay, as you talk to people across America, are they concerned with the rising price of oil? Or do they honestly think, oh, well, it's going to come down soon?
Well, if I didn't know better, Dr. Stan, I would think my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, just came off the press yesterday, and it was brand new. There is a move today to learn the facts and to know the issues, and people are upset. And mark my words, that gallon of gasoline at the gas pump is going to go. Now, you say it's prophetic when it happens, but it's not at all. It was planned in advance. That gallon of gasoline at the gas pump is going to go to between $3 and $4 a gallon. Yes, it may go down for a short while, but they'll take it back up 50 cents, bring it back down a dime. Then they'll take it back up 75 cents, and they'll bring it back down 25 cents. And they will keep that up until they have it exactly where they want it. And it's like the frog boiling in the pot. They'll heat it up a little bit more every day until we're driving exactly as Dr. Stan says we will. And you will have it up there to $3 to $4 a gallon. Watch out, farmers. You're in big trouble on those tractors. And watch out for the food supply and the price of everything. Even the roads are paved with crude oil. That's asphalt. At the hardware store, at the grocery store, everything in our lifestyle is going to be affected by the price of crude oil. And it is their method today of bringing about a control factor of the world, and they will use it, using crude oil as the base method of doing it, and produce exactly what the power controllers of the world want. That's the reason I wrote my book, The Syndrome of Control, is so you can know their mindset, understand how they think and why they think. I shall never forget the man that wrote most of this book for me. His name was Congressman George Hansen when he was still in Congress. He said to me one day when we won a speaking engagement tour in Texas, he said, "Lindsay, if you're crazy enough to put it in book form and write it and risk your life," he said, "I'll give it to you." He said, "As a congressman, I wouldn't dare say it, but if you want to, you can," and I did. He sat down with a tape recorder one day and recorded the majority of my book, Syndrome of Control. I dared to put it in book form, and you can have in your hands the mindset and how they think and why they do what they do of the power controllers of the world. And what I can say a little bit off on Dr. Stan's program today, you can read the whole thing, as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story of what really is taking place in the control factor of the world. The name of the game is control, exactly like Dr. Stan says on his program.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, of course, George Hansen was one of certainly the most courageous congressmen in Congress. And what did they do? Why they set him up? They actually brought false charges against him. He was accused of falsifying his report under the Fair Election Commission, and he did exactly what 150 other congressmen had done. He did exactly what they told him he could do, and of course they sent him to prison. None of the other congressmen who filled out their forms exactly the same way went to prison. He was actually tortured for years in prison. 10 years later, they said, "Oh, it was all a mistake. Sorry, George. Well, we're going to let you out, and you'll be exonerated. We had no authorization to do it." But by that time, he was a broken man. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what happens to the congressmen who stand up. And, of course, they did this to Jim Trafficant in the United States Congress. They had FBI informants working in his office. They set him up. And, of course, he's in prison today. And so that's a pretty good message to any of the congressmen. If you stand up and you buck the establishment, they're going to come after you. And, of course, other people, well, for instance, John Kennedy. John Kennedy defied the people who control the monetary system and passed Executive Order 11110, And, of course, that was to allow the printing of money based upon silver currency, and not too long after that, why he went on a trip to Dallas. Would they actually do that sort of thing in America? Of course they would. These are people who really don't care about right and wrong. It's all about power, the power elite. And it's about time people understand how this whole system works. And I think Lindsay's books offer a great deal of information, certainly about how they've manipulated the price of oil. But the most incredible thing is there's all the oil that they could possibly use up there off the north shore of Prudhoe Bay there at Gull Island. But even if we were to decide tomorrow to get it, it would be 10 years before we could get it down here, get that pipeline built. And so they've created a crisis. But if you didn't have a crisis, how could you come up with a solution? Isn't that pretty well how it works, Lindsay?
That's exactly the way it works, Dr. Stan. All of it is by design. They know exactly what they're going to do a month, 2 months, 6 months from now. They know how they plan to put the American people into slavery in our own land. And all of it is done by a design plan. And oil, basically, is the foundation of that which they plan to use in order to extract from you and me the wealth that is ours, belongs to us, and we the people, not we the sheeple, is what the Constitution says. It's time we know the issues. Then once we know the issues, then we can do something about it. We can prepare for our household. We can, and Dr. Stan, congratulations on the products that you present to the people over your program. You say, well, they're just advertisements. Well, sure they are. But there are also things that Dr. Stan knows that you are going to need in order to be able to survive in light of what they're going to do. All of it by a design plan, Dr. Stan.
Well, I'm sure it is, and our telephone number, if you have a call, a question, or maybe you disagree with Lindsay, you want to challenge his idea that there really is plenty of oil, this is all a scam, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, are you getting lots of calls now, again, are people suddenly remembering your book and getting you on the radio programs across America?
Yes, Dr. Stan, they are. In fact, it was quite interesting the other day. A gentleman called me. I guess he'd gotten my phone number from, I don't know.
I think he called me and I gave it to him, right?
Yeah, and he said it took me 3 hours to get through to your 800 line in order to get your books ordered and your tapes. And so just call 800-321-2900. You're right. People are wanting to know the issues, because how can you possibly prepare for your household and get things ready in light of the plans, unless you know their plan? But once you know their plan, then you can somehow prepare for your family and overcome the inevitable and make it much easier. You say, well, is this really going to happen? I don't believe in this doomsday judgment thing. No, neither do I. I believe in a planned approach, which these people are planning. Why should not you and I likewise take action in order to spare our family from the heartache that they have planned for us? And you can do it, and you can make it much easier on yourself if you know the issues and then do something about it to prepare.
And I really think that we are called to do our best as long as we're here. We don't know when the Lord is going to come. It may be very soon, it may not be anywhere near in the time frame that we think it's going to be. No one knows when the Lord's going to come again, and so we are called to be the salt, we're called to be the light, we're called to be involved in this world. That's why we're here. If we were only here just to sit off in a cave, and as they did, of course, over in the Kidron Valley, and there were thousands of monks that were in the little cave there, and all they did was sit and pray and chant, but they really didn't do anything as far as influencing the world in which they live. I think that those of us who are given the opportunity should take that opportunity and reach other people. Yes, I believe that God does have a plan, but I believe he has a plan for each of our lives, and I think he wants us to be involved. I know I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing without God's guidance, and without having, because I've truly seen very real miracles in the coming together of my ministry. And I think it was God's providence that put Lindsay up there on the oil pipeline. And if he'd been on that pipeline and then never brought the information out or tried to educate the American people, a few people would understand what's really going on today. So I really believe each of us is called by God to do certain specific things. And I'm sure he wants the people out there in the audience to be involved. But of course, they can refuse the call, just as Jonah could have refused the call. In fact, he tried to refuse God's call, but finally God did get his attention and got him to go off to Nineveh. But he changed, and what he did changed the course of that wicked Assyrian community for 60 or 80 years. Can we do the same, Lindsay?
Yes, we positively can. You know, sometimes people are prone to be accusing of Jonah. But when I look at it another way, I think Jonah was exactly in the center of God's will, even while he was in the whale, or not in the whale, but in the fish, because Jonah went to a city that the god of that city was a fish. It was a fishing town. And he went there, and they listened to him because they thought a god had stepped out of that big fish. Well, you and I can be exactly that, Dr. Stan, and congratulations on the marvelous job that you're doing of being the modern-day prophet to warn the people before the judgment takes place.
Well, I don't want to be a prophet, because when you're wrong, well, you know what happens to prophets, but at least we have knowledge, and we want to get that knowledge out. Only the people who really God has told what's going to happen, I think, and prophesy. But I think we got a pretty good idea just from examining history of what lies ahead. We're going to be back in just a minute to wrap up this program here with Lindsay Williams, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening has been Lindsay Williams, who was of the chaplain on the pipeline that was built there in the early 1970s from Prudhoe Bay down to, what was it, Vasquez or Valdez?
Down to Valdez, Alaska.
Alaska, right. Well, we've got Jim calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Good, Stan. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
I just wanted to express my appreciation for the program tonight, and I'm glad that there's another perspective being put forth in contrast with this whole idea of peak oil.
Isn't that a great scam, you know? And you read it you're reading it every place. You got to know it's not true.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a great sales pitch, you know, to mislead people, because I personally just feel instinctively that it's more likely that the oil companies are restricting production in order to increase their own value.
I think you're absolutely right, Jim, and I think it's about time people begin to take their blinders off and not accept things as they are, but ask, why are these things happening?
Yeah. Well, with Lindsay here, I mean, he's been there, he's seen it, it's coming from the horse's mouth.
And that's why this is the third time today, the third hour Lindsay's been with me. And yet I'm always fascinated every time I hear this story, I learn something from it. Is there anything else you want to say, Jim?
Just one last thing, this is kind of an unrelated question. Just briefly here, I heard recently, and I may be totally out of the loop here, but I just heard that Anthony Sutton passed away recently. Is that true?
Well, no, he passed away, I guess, about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. So,
okay,
I'm
out of the loop.
You're out of the loop, right.
I'm out of the loop.
Okay, and actually, but you'll be pleased to know that our friend Chris Milligan has many of his papers, and he's keeping track of those for us so that they're not lost, and Anthony was actually a friend of mine. He used to live in Santa Cruz. Did you know that, Jim?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he lived here for many years, and actually, of course, he actually had to live at addresses. Nobody could track him down because, of course, the enemies within the government did not want his message to get out. What was his message? Why, we have financed the best enemies money we could buy in Russia, in China, and certainly in North Vietnam. Hey, we're out of time. God bless, Jim. Thanks very much, and thanks for your support.
All right, sure. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, Lindsay, well, do you have a parting thoughts for our listeners?
Dr. Stan, I sure do. Keep your eyes up. We've read the last chapter. We know what the end result is going to be. The right will win. The wrong will lose. The powers that be cannot control the world. God will eventually step in and do that which he sees fit. And I'm glad that we're on the winning side. And congratulations on the marvelous job that you as a talk show host are doing in telling the truth and getting the message out to the American people.
God bless
you. Let me give you a copy of my four books, if you will.
All right, bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, remember that telephone number if you'd like to get Lindsay's books. It's 800-321-2900. That's 800-321-2900, and I think you'll find this is a fascinating set of books, and if you simply purchase any one of the videos, well, he'll give you the four books free of charge. And the important thing is that, you know, you have that information, you'll help us to get that information out. We do carry one of the books, but it's far better to get the four books than simply get the one from us. If you need another copy by itself of why, you can get the Energy Non-Crisis from us, but we certainly can't beat his offer. Of course, our number is 1-800-544-8927. If you want to understand the master plan of these wicked people and how they really have a genocidal program, you need to get our Sustainable Development Syllabus. We have a video. It's a little old, but there's nothing. Everything in that video is quite valid about the Sustainable Development Program. It's called Sustainable Development. So you can get the syllabus that goes with that. Now, you want an updated video. It's called Sustainable Development, The Road to World War III. That's Sustainable Development, The Road to World War III. So there's two videos. You can get both of them. And then, of course, we have a four-tape set on Sustainable Development. But the syllabus is the key to getting the documentation, because you'll get the Earth Charter, and you'll go to the Global Biodiversity Assessment, and you'll get my Population Control Agenda monograph, and you'll get the World Bank water policy. They're creating water shortages all throughout the world so they could control the water, they can control the crop production, they can control the people. And so what are they doing? Well, they're tearing down dams. They're blocking the constructions of dams and reservoirs. And then they're complaining about the shortage of water. Oh, we've got to put in new toilets with low quantity flow. And we've got to stop, you know, doing so much irrigation. And we've got to stop watering our plants. And we've got to let our plants die and let our trees die. And we've got, of course, restrict the water to the farmers so this will drive up the prices. That's really all so that we'll begin having to purchase our crops from other countries to impoverish the American people. Part of the planned program of lowering our living standards. And believe me, when, of course, they take the crop subsidies away from the American farmer, most of them aren't going to be able to survive because the prices are so low, but they can produce them in other countries so much cheaper because they don't have to pay for the land, and of course the price of fuel and other things will be lower in other countries. Everything is done artificially, and it is all aimed at impoverishing the American people, or, as Gorbachev wrote, of redistributing wealth throughout the world between countries. That's all in the Earth Charter. If you want a free copy of the Earth Charter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. That's a free copy of the Earth Charter. If you'd like a copy of my newsletter, our July newsletter will tell you what really happened on September the 11th, 2001, not what you're told in 911 Commission report, but the smoking gun was in their hearings. They just didn't bother to put it in the report. Because the last thing they want the American people to know is what really happened on the morning of September 11th. So if you'd like a free copy of our July's newsletter, we'll be glad to send that out. And, of course, you can get all of our newsletters at our website. Our website, remember, is RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the Internet. You can pull down our newsletters and other essays and things we've written. Remember, we're going to be having an all-day seminar here in Santa Cruz, in the North Shore of Monterey Bay, with lunch. It's going to be on November the 6th, and we hope many of you out there in the listening audience will begin making arrangements to come and bring your friends. That's November 6th, an all-day seminar. We're bringing in outdoor speakers, and I promise you it will be a memorable occasion. So look forward to seeing you. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 for our seminar, and then please pray for America. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. Pray for revival. Because, of course, if our people don't turn back to God, is there any reason God should ever bless this country again? And lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.